2014, what will it hold? How will it affect our world? And what will our role in this coming year be? Those are all excellent questions. And today we're going to look at how it might be answered from the perspective of transformation through our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much that happens in our lives daily that truly influence and affect everything that is going to be the outcome throughout our lives. There's a saying that says, you know, a butterfly beats its wings over the Amazon River and a typhoon is stirred off the coast of Africa. And the reality is, that is fair to say, because it all affects everything. And today I want us to look at just how our lives are affected by two very simple but yet complex words: expectation versus anticipation. Turn with me, if you would, in your scriptures to the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. We're going to begin in verse 38 and we're going to read through verse 42. Now, this is a very familiar story as you're turning there. This is the story of Jesus, and he's going to Mary and Martha's house. Actually, it's Martha's house, and Mary lives there, because Martha would be the older sister. And this is the discourse that happens during that time. So from the 38th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, we read these words. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." As we begin to look at these verses, let me start by stating, Martha was not doing anything wrong, and neither was Mary. Both had good intentions. However, the Lord chose the one over the other in his preference, as his preference. And there's a reason for that. And this is what we're going to be talking about, because this is how our lives get focused. This is what we look at when we start out a year. We look at things from a point of expectation, but do we anticipate the year? And this is what we see happening in this very real story. As we look at what happens, Martha is busying herself to make things as nicely and full for her Lord as she can. You know, she's making the preparation. She's about all the work. She's doing all the stuff. And what's Mary doing? That lazy thing? She just goes over and plops herself down in front of Jesus and listens to his teaching. There's work to be done. Why aren't you up and about and doing it? How many of us have said those things to our spouse or our children or someone around us? And yet, look at Jesus' response. Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Here's Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, taking the position of a disciple and taking in all the Lord has to offer. We need to remember, neither one of these is a bad thing. Mary, wanting to fulfill all these things, was good and noble. All these things needed to be taken care of. The work of the day needs to be done, right? God says he deplores a sluggard. How many of you have ever heard that saying? God deplores a sluggard, but yet here it seems he's rewarding the sluggard, doesn't it? He's not. He's showing us something here. And this is one of the things that I think we need to understand. And it's kind of funny how this came to me, and I'll get into that here in just a little bit. But when we look at what's going on with Mary, we have to realize too that what she's doing is a good thing. Because God was there. And we need to take time to be with God. And that may mean outside of our schedule, outside of our expectation, outside of our stuff, because we've got things nailed down. Boom, 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 boom. And we forget, oh, what happens when God steps into the equation? And He is, and He will, and He does. The bad thing is, so many times we miss it because we've nailed everything down, and He can't find a way in. It's not that He can't, it's that He won't. Because God will not force Himself upon us. That's the love He has for us. He loves us in such a way that God, only God, knows our hearts. And we become distracted. God wants to impart something to us. And the whole reality is, are we anticipating that? Well, that's part of the reason for the rebuke of Martha. Because God did rebuke her. Jesus did rebuke Martha. And why? Because this is where expectation and anticipation meet head on. And it's the dividing line. God wants us to order our lives, as I said. We are to get goals, set goals, raise the bar, increase the standard, and move on towards excellence. Okay? We are to set these expectations to prepare for the future based on what we know. Now, how many of us know everything? I don't know about you, but the older I live, I think the dumber I get. Because I realize there's more I don't know than what I do know. I had a boss one time when I was in the machine shop. He told me, he said, I want you to remember this and don't ever forget it. I have forgotten more than you will ever know. I really didn't know what that meant at the time, but I laughed because it seemed stupid. But then I began to realize as I got older, he's so right. There are things that are no longer a part of me because I know that stuff is foolishness and I need to forget it and move forward. And that's what he was teaching me. That's what he was trying to tell me. As a child, as a young person, we think one way. But as we get older, we think a little bit more mature. How many of you have come to realize that in your days? And it's so strange because then you turn, 75, 80, 85, and your brain says, now you're not going to remember any of it. Even your own name. Okay? And it's just so strange how it happens. We revert back to yesteryear, but yet along the way God says, set those expectations, set those goals, raise the bar, move into excellence, and understand that I'm going to be in all that. So make room for me among your expectations. Anticipate me being there. And that's when you need to set aside your expectations. Martha didn't set her expectations aside. Martha continued along the line of her expectations rather than walking into the anticipation of what the Lord may have for her. And that goes to show where we are here today. This Sunday, we were supposed to set up the tabernacle. We had it all planned, didn't we, Miss Sally? We had everything planned. We were going to set up, we were going to put our new cross and our new altar candles and our vases, and we were going to have a procession, and we were going to do, and we were going to, and we were going to. We were going to, didn't happen. Because God walked in and said, no, no, that's your expectations. I want you to anticipate me. Set your stuff, but wait for me. So I'm waiting on the Lord. Because it's not time. And it was so amazing because God did show me why it's not time. And I'll share that with you when it is time. Stay tuned. And that won't happen today. But the reality is, we set our expectations, but we have to allow room for God. And when God enters in, are we going to continue with our stuff, or are we going to stop and receive from the Lord what the Lord wants us to receive. That's what's going on here with Mary and Martha. We must allow room for anticipation. The I don't know, the I don't control it all, the I know who holds tomorrow of our lives. Because even in our today, we cannot determine what's going to happen when we walk out those doors. I can't determine what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds. That's reality. We could hear a thunderclap of trumpet sound, and the next thing you know, we'd all be translated to the presence of the Lord. And how many of you want to stay here and hear me speak? I wouldn't. I'd want to be in His presence. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what it gets to. We, according to Proverbs 16 and 9, this is what it says. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We are to make plans. As good citizens, as good parents, we teach our children that you need to do these certain things, that life is all about order and discipline and getting things done and having a job and paying your bills and et cetera, right? That's what we do. That's what we teach our children. That's what we teach everybody. At least that's what we're supposed to be teaching them. I don't know what they're teaching them now, because our government is teaching us that, hey, it's fine to live in debt. $17 trillion worth of debt. And you wonder how we're supposed to teach our children to be responsible when our very government is irresponsible. We're not to be of the world, but in the world. So therefore, let us live the way God anticipates us living. Did you key that word? Anticipates us living. Okay? He doesn't expect us to live that way, because He knows we won't. But He anticipates that we will, as we grow over time. Martha was going to miss what the Lord had for her because she was so worried about her expectations, she forgot to anticipate that the Lord might want something else, or even worse, to miss what the Lord wanted to give her, something that would be much more valuable to her receiving it. Now think about this. Here's Martha. She's out there in the kitchen. She's preparing all these meals. She's cleaning everything up. But yet back here is the Lord Jesus Christ giving a teaching. Now she didn't come to Him and say, Jesus, would you please wait until I have everything done so I can come and sit at your feet too? Okay, did you notice she didn't say that? She didn't dare tell Him to stop. So she tried to get somebody else to help her get her stuff done quicker so she could get back there. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distressed about many things. And she was. Dinner needed to be done. The table needed to be set. The pillows needed to be put out. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The whole way through, right? What was Jesus saying? When I'm here, those things aren't important. When I'm here, I'm important. What I have to say to you is important. And the way you respond to Him shows what's more important, doesn't it? What was more important, Jesus or the preparations? Why do we live our lives as though the preparations are more important than Jesus? Isn't that an amazing thing? One of the things we need to realize is sometimes we need to let the preparations go. Remember, the things of this world are all going to burn, aren't they? And so it isn't perfect. How many of us are? But how much do we need God to help us get to our goals? To make sure that the things we set before us are the right things and the things that are good and noble and will help us. Because when we start to put our expectations before the anticipation of God stepping in, then we've made ourselves God. We've made our expectations, our goals, our idols. And when we make these things an idol, we're no longer worshiping God. Even though we're in the church, even though we call ourselves Christians, we've stepped outside of the will of God and we're doing what pleases us. And it's so amazing because think about this. Here's Martha. She comes to the Lord. She didn't complain to him, did she? She didn't tell him, you know, well, you got here too early. It's your fault. No. She says, get my sister off her derriere and get her over here helping me. And Jesus says, would you chill out? Come on, sit down. Get a cup of tea. Let's talk a while. What's more important? To be busy about something or to take time to be with God and find out what He really wants? Isn't that an amazing concept? How many of us will fill our days with what we want rather than finding out what God wants? And then from that place of finding out what God wants, truly finding direction for our own lives and how much God wants to meet us where we are to get us to where He wants us to be. When the whole time we've got a destination in mind, and regardless of what God wants, we're going to head there. That's expectation. Anticipation says, I'm waiting for God to walk into this, because when He does, I'll change course. Because my expectations should never outweigh the anticipations of God. God always comes first. Now, as I said, Martha wasn't doing anything wrong in that we do need to prepare. We need to make things ready. We need to get things going. But when God shows up, what happens to our expectations? They stop. They stop. And see, that's where the problem comes in. Because we've not anticipated God, because we're not open to His anticipating Him, we miss what He has for us. And we become disillusioned and upset because my stuff wasn't taken care of. And isn't that the way our world works? There's a great difference between expectation and anticipation. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark in the 6th chapter. And it was so funny because Miss Sally and I were talking about this, and she spoke to me and said, oh yes, that's Matthew 6. Don't worry and, you know, let things to God. And it was so amazing because I wrote down Mark 6 on the paper. Okay? I really did. I wrote down Mark 6 instead of Matthew. We were talking about it. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm going to use that in the sermon. That's exactly what I told her. Okay? And so I wrote down Mark 6 and instead of Matthew 6. And it so amazed me because that's where God wanted me. Not in Matthew 6, in Mark 6. Look at Mark chapter 6. And I'll give you the verse here in just a second as soon as I... 30. Mark 6, beginning in verse 30. And we're going to read here through 44. And this is so amazing because this is perfect. This fits so well. I couldn't believe it because I'm reading this and I'm thinking, what? That's not what I thought. And the more I read it, it was like, oh my goodness, Lord, You are talking to me. I just got an expectation interrupted with an anticipation in the midst of doing my research. Thank You for showing up, Lord. I'm open to it. Here we go. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Now, who just said that? Jesus did. What was His expectation? To go away and get some rest, right? He just said it, not me. All right? Now let's read on. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them, What just happened? God showed up. Because they were looking for a quiet time and a quiet place. But when they got there, Jesus said, "Oh, the Father's here. I got something else to do." His plans changed. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." There's an expectation. Get these people out of here. We can't feed them. They need to find some place to eat. Send them on their way so they can get some food. And guess who shows up? Now remember, the first time Jesus himself met God in the middle. Now the disciples are meeting God because Jesus now sees the direction he needs to go. He's anticipated and walked into it. The disciples haven't yet. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." Talk about an expectation. "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. We are to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. Now, what do you think the expectation was on the disciples before we finish reading that? And we all know how it ends. How in the world is this guy going to feed 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 5 little fish? He's nuts. Because their expectation was, this is going to be feeding 1, maybe 2 people if they're very small and not hungry. But these people had been there all evening. They ran ahead without any food to get to where Jesus was because they were looking to meet God. Jesus wanted to get away. That was his expectation. The disciples were still wanting to get away. And God was about to give them away. Away to him. You see, that's where expectation and anticipation have to meet. We set our expectations, but when God walks in, are you anticipating anything from him? Or are you going to continue in your expectations and miss everything that God wants to give you, that God wants to show you, that God wants to work into your life? As we enter 2014, I ask you to be open, because when you are open to what God has for you, for us as a congregation, we will find ourselves walking in blessing because we are ready to receive from him, to change our direction. See, that's what a transformed life does. Transformation means what? Change. To change direction, to change purpose, to change course as God leads and God guides. Look what happens here, and I just love this. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. If left up to the disciples, these people would have missed an awesome experience of God's love, power, provision, and purpose. If left up to the disciples, these people, and themselves included, would have missed an awesome experience of God's love, power, provision, and purpose. Are we living our lives that way? These people came to receive a teaching. They expected a teaching. They didn't expect a meal. I don't think they expected a meal. But God showed up and He fed them both spiritually and physically, taking care of far more than they had anticipated to begin with. No, far more than they expected. But in that expectation, anticipation was allowed. And through that, God was able to move. Is our heart open enough to receive blessing from God in the midst of something that it doesn't even look like blessing is going to come from? Okay? We've got to be willing to be open to receive from the Lord. Otherwise, those blessings are going to be missed. They're going to be completely and totally missed. They'll never manifest because we've not opened ourselves to expect, no, to anticipate what God has in store. Our expectations are our desires. Our expectations are driven by our desires. Okay? And we need to understand God calls for balance. As we understand our expectations are limited. Please understand that. Our expectations are limited and they limit us. Okay? How do they limit us? Because they throw out the supernatural. They throw out what God wants to do or provide for us. Because our expectations say, I can do this, and 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 I can do this. In that, there's no room for God. But when we say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, oh, I can meet God here. Lord, what do you want? Yes, sir. Oh, thank you. All of a sudden, our world is opened up to receive from Him something far greater than we could ever hope or dream. Why? Because that's the power of God. That's the love of God. God doesn't give us little trivial things. Do you ever notice that? When God gives us something, it's generally something that changes our lives, isn't it? God gets in there and He gets real. I mean, He knows Merle and Cindy. He knows Brenda. He knows Carl. He knows Dan Dower and Matthew Watson and Sally Miller Checka. And He knows exactly what each and every one of your lives needs. Better than that, He knows what He wants you to have, Bob. He knows what He wants you to have, Eva. Regardless of what Bob says. Now, which would you rather have? What God wants you to have or what Bob wants you to have? I want to have both. Okay? I want what my wife wants me to have and I want what God wants me to have because then I get it all. But when we set ourselves up just to receiving one, we're limiting ourselves. Do you see what I mean by that? We are truly limiting ourselves. But when we open ourselves to God and what He has for us, it's limitless. From two loaves, or from five loaves and two fishes, they pick up 12 loaves or 12 baskets of bread and fish. That's more than they started with. Now they have enough to go out and feed the rest of the people that are hungry. Because everybody else has already been fed. When we open ourselves to experiencing God, to accepting His open invitation through anticipation, we're open to be blessed. Mary was blessed. Was Martha blessed? Think back to our original story. Was Martha blessed? Nope. She had a burden, didn't she? Because she had all this stuff she had to accomplish. Jesus was sitting right there in her midst, and she didn't receive Him. Do you understand that? Jesus was right there, and she did not receive Him because she was so busy about what she had to do. Mary sat at his feet. That's a position of humbleness. That's a position of a disciple. Because we know our position. He is our head. And we'll not come before him. We'll let nothing of our agenda come before him. And when he enters in, where do we go? Right to his feet. Right to his feet. And we sit and we wait on the Lord. There's a beautiful psalm that I was reminded of. It's Psalm number 27. Would you turn there with me, please? Psalm 27. And this psalm is so important because it truly shows us something here, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, that is so real in our lives, or needs to be real in our lives, spiritual and physical, because with it, we can overcome. With it, we will find the fullness that God has for us. But without it, we're going to miss much. Psalm 27. David here is writing as king of Israel, and he's looking at his life and the reality that he has armies or enemies all around him. And you know, David has to protect a whole nation. He's responsible for all this. So what kind of expectations do you think are placed on David, okay, as the king? What type of expectations do you think he has for his own life? Because he's got to be the king over these people, to give them safety, to walk in such a way as to keep this nation, this small nation in the midst of these huge nations, safe. Let's read what David has to say. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path, because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This psalm shows me balance in so many wonderful ways. Because David knows his enemies are out there. He knows that they're going to attack him. And he knows that he needs to be prepared for battle. But in his mind, he also knows that in the midst of that battle, he has confidence. Even though his foes may outweigh him. Because he anticipates God stepping in to his expectation. We cannot have one without the other. If we do, we will throw everything out of whack. If we fill our lives with total expectation, we are going to begin to build a life that is filled with idolatry, because it's going to reflect on our needs, our desires, our wants, what I can do and what I can get. Who is the master of that? I. But when we say, Lord, here are my plans. Show me the way that I must walk. I shall order my steps. But you, Father, walk in and you determine them. Because when you do, I am going to seek your face. I am going to come to your temple. I am going to pray and speak in shouts of joy. Because I know you are going to enter in. And my enemies will be defeated. My foes will be outnumbered. For you, Father, outnumber all things. Do you see the balance here? Do you see how David was able to run a nation? Because he knew that God and the people had placed expectations upon his being as the King of Kings, or as the King of Israel. But the King of Kings was at his back guard, ready to step in when he was needed. And David anticipated that every step of the way. He never took the position of saying, I am king and I will do what I want. He said, I am king and God is my king and I wait for thee. Do you catch it there at the end? Wait on the Lord. Plan your days. Make your steps. But when God enters in, sit down. Sit down and enjoy his company and receive from him what he wishes for you to receive. And it will change your life. It will actually give you life. And that's the greatness of our God. How many of us here today made New Year's resolutions? I have learned after 51 years that you don't make resolutions. They don't work. All you do is break a promise to yourself and look like a fool to your friends. Hush, Rut. My resolve is this. It's not a resolution. My resolve is this. I will set forth the plans that I believe the Lord has called me to do. But in and amongst them, I will seek Him all the days of my life, that I may serve Him and not my expectations. Because my expectations are of this world, but God has otherworldly plans and purposes for myself, for my family, for my church. And you are all part of that. I expect you to anticipate God. That's my only expectation of each and every one of you. I expect you to anticipate God. And when He calls your name, Leon, you're going to say, here I am, Lord. Not what was that? Here I am, Lord. What do you have of me, Lord? What direction do you want to take me, Lord? Because there you will find peace. You will find the rest that Jesus wanted to find. Think of how those 5,000 felt when they were fed by the Lord. How do you think they felt, Whitey? Were they filled? I mean, they were full in the belly, but I'll bet you they were filled in the spirit because they just saw a miracle. They just met God face to face. And they were completely full, both physically and spiritually. How would you like to have life like that? Completely full. Then set aside your expectations and anticipate God. But don't set aside your expectations to the point where you become that flippant butterfly person that's out there just waiting in the lilies for God to show up. Because then you will have spent your life and there will have no value to it. We have a work to do. God tells us that from the beginning to the end. in the books of Genesis all the way to Revelation. We have a work to do. But throughout that work, we must be anticipating God stepping in. And when we get the balance right, that our expectations and our anticipations are equal to that of God, then we will see Him, we will meet Him, and we will know Him and know His fortune, His blessing. Now, does that mean we're all going to get it right now? Because I've told you all this, now you're all going to go out there and get it perfect, right? You're going to work on this the rest of your lives, not just this year ahead, but the rest of your life. And spouses, that's what you're here for, to help your other work on that, right? No, you're to work on it yourself. Because I love that stuff, you know. I'll be talking, and next thing you know, I see a husband nudging a wife, or a wife nudging a husband. Or even sometimes the kids, they'll look at their parents and laugh, you know. It's like, oh, I don't know what's going on there. This stuff's real. Because it's His Word in our lives. And we live it out every day. And that's what I want you to hear, folks. You are living it out. I'm going to confront you with His Word. Because that's my job. To prepare you to be the church. I'm not the church. You are. What this becomes is because of you and how you are expecting it to grow and how you are anticipating God coming into it. Do you see how it works? Because it's not only this church that's going to grow. It's your life. It's you. And God wants to meet you every day. Are you ready to anticipate meeting the Lord daily? Oh, I am. Let us take 2014 to the next level. Let us allow God to enter in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we may live in kingdom glory even now. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give to you ourselves. And Lord, we dedicate unto you this year, 2014. Father, we're not going to put any expectations on it other than to expect to grow in you and to meet you. And Lord, we anticipate that in whatever way you would bring it, so that we may receive from you the fullness of blessing and the fullness of life itself. And Lord, some of that is simply just going to be to allow us to know that you love us. Others of it is going to be to double us and triple us as far as spiritually and perhaps even numerically. But Lord, we know that for the purpose of your love, we must open ourselves to the anticipation of you stepping in and being who you are, God, our salvation. Lord Jesus, teach us as we go to take life one day at a time, one moment at a time, planning for tomorrow, but being fluid enough to change our expectations to meet you along the way. For these things we give thee grace and praise. In thine holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.